Welcome to our session. This is a session on prayer for Latin America. So thank you for having chosen our seminar here. How many of you have ever been in Latin America? Where? Which country?
Most of us.
Mexico.
Mexico. The rest of you, have you ever been there?
Mexico and the Dominican Republic.
Good. It's hard to go farther south. I come from Argentina. That's almost the other part of the world. So. And you are all invited. I don't know if you know that for us, people coming from other countries, I'm late here, but all the international guests had a session on Wednesday. People arrived earlier, and we share an activity that is called a pre-symposium activity day of learning, and that was very interesting. We were around 200 people. We had lunch together, and after lunch, we have discussions on round table. And Dr. Wifliet, the director here of the Worship Institute, led the conversation, the topics, for us to discuss. And one of the themes of the topics we discussed was on prayer. And he asked this question: what are your churches praying for? Most of us, in my table, there were people from Egypt, China, Scotland, the United States, and myself from Latin America. And we all agreed that in the intercession time in church, usually we pray for the congregation prayer requests, those who are ill, those who are in any kind of suffering, personal crisis, or whatever. Sometimes we pray for our communities, but we are not so used to pray for the church worldwide, except for some Mission Sunday service or a missionary conference. We tend to pray more for those who are closer to us and not for the church brothers and sisters in other parts of the world. And we made the commitment to be more intentional in our planning to include the church, to name the church in other parts of the world, to use other liturgical resources from other parts of the world. You know, most of you know this resource that is called Worship and the Triune God, and it's a document written by the Reformed churches worldwide on worship. It's available at the Gaudium Worship Institute webpage in English and in other languages, in Spanish too. And in one paragraph, talking about prayer, it says, "Blessed is the church that prays not only for its own needs, but also for the needs of the world that God so loves." I love this paragraph. And so this session was designed and planned on this perspective, to be able to introduce people from all over the world, from all over the United States, to other situations our brothers and sisters are experiencing in other parts of the world. So there is a session on the Middle East, our session in Latin America. So I'm not here alone. I'm with my friends from other parts of Latin America. Almost all of us are represented. Elizabeth is from Mexico. That is Latin America, North America. Carlos and Neftali are from El Salvador, Central America. And I'm from Argentina, representing South America. So I will ask them to introduce themselves to you, and then Elizabeth will start with her presentation.
May I present?
Yeah.
I try to speak in English. My name is Elizabeth Hernandez. I am from Mexico. I was born in Southeast Mexico, the state Tabasco. like a salsa Tabasco.
Hot, spicy Tabasco sauce.
I am from Professor Liturgy in the Theological Community, Mexico. And it's a pleasure to stay here with you.
Good, thank you. Carlos.
I'm Carlos Colón, and I am a composer and a liturgist, and I work at Baylor University in the chaplain's office. And I am originally from El Salvador, and I maintain close ties with my country, going there 3 or 4 times a year. I work at the concert level, and also we work with churches also, and presently I have a project with my good friend Neftali Valiente, and we are promoting music education through the churches. And this is Neftali. He'll introduce himself.
No. You can't translate.
Soy Neftali Valiente, del Salvador. Carlos puede traducir lo que quiera después.
No, ella va a traducir para que le haga.
His name, and he's from Salvador.
Y además de ser maestro de música en una escuela pública, trabajo con 4 iglesias bautistas en El Salvador.
He's a music professor at 4 public schools, and he's also, no, at
no,
1 public school, and you are serving 4 Baptist churches in worship, in the music area, in el área de música.
Y dirijo el coro de maestros en San Salvador.
And he is a choir director in San Salvador. Thank you very much. And my name is Maria Eugenia Cornol, that's my full name. I'm from Buenos Aires, Argentina, living in Grand Rapids. God knows why. God knows why. I'm a scholar in residence here at Calvin, and I'm not a liturgist, I'm not a musician, I'm a theologian, a Bible scholar, but I have joined the Worship Institute to do some research in a project they have researching worship practices among Hispanic congregations in the United States. So it's very challenging, and I am learning a lot of my brothers and sisters. And I'm very surprised of realizing how many Hispanic congregations we have here in Kent County and around. So I will ask Elizabeth to start. What we are going to do is to share some things that are going on in our countries or in our regions, to share with you our prayer requests, and also some resources. And you have in the handouts some resources we are planning for you to take, and perhaps you can use them later in planning your worship services. Carlos and Neftali will teach a song, and we will have also a time of prayer too.
Cuando me invitaron a compartir este momento con ustedes,
when I was invited to share this time with you,
y me presentaron el tema de oración, me emocionó.
And they asked me to talk about prayer, I was touched.
La oración es la primera forma en que el ser humano se comunica con Dios.
Prayer is the first and main form to communicate with God.
Y tristemente es la última que usamos, o es el ejercicio que menos hacemos en nuestras iglesias, o que lo hacemos muy poquito tiempo.
And unfortunately, we do not pray as much in our churches, or we dedicate not too much time to prayer in our services.
Quiero hacer una pregunta.
I want to ask you a question.
¿Qué necesitamos hacer?
What do we need to do?
Para saber cómo orar,
to know how to pray,
por la iglesia en el mundo,
for the church worldwide,
y por las situaciones del mundo mismo,
and for the situations in the world. It's a question.
Could you repeat the question?
What do you need to do in order to be informed of what's going on in the world and to pray for the world or for the church worldwide?
Sometimes mission boards can have on their website, they seem to have updates.
No escuché bien.
Que muchas veces las, los comités de misiones tienen recursos en sus websites que nos informan lo que está pasando en el mundo.
Exacto. Necesitamos conocer, saber qué está sucediendo en el mundo.
What we need is information. We need to know what's happening.
A veces las noticias no son buenas.
Sometimes we don't have good news.
Pero necesitamos saberlas.
But we need to know.
No podemos ser como el avestruz que entierra la cabeza para no saber qué pasa afuera, ¿no?
That's a good word, avestruz. We cannot hide our heads in the earth, not knowing what's going on around.
Hoy les traigo noticias de México.
I bring some news from Mexico.
Ustedes tienen en sus notas de mano detalles más amplios de esto, de México.
More details of what she's going to show.
Solo quiero decir unas cosas así. Okay. México es un país que tiene 56 grupos étnicos diferentes.
Mexico is a country with 56 different people.
Esta es una foto de aproximada de
different faces you can find in Mexico.
Se habla 56 idiomas distintos más sus variantes.
The 56 languages are spoken and also some
different variantes.
Each native language has different forms to be spoken.
Pero también México es un país con culturas mezcladas, con diferentes culturas.
And Mexico is a country with a mix of cultures.
Habemos los mestizos, no sé cómo.
Yeah, I don't know if you know the word mestizo. Usually it was the Spaniards gave that name to those that are from native ascendant and mixed with the Europeans. Mm-hmm. So now it's usually used mestizo just to refer to the mix of countries.
Juntos somos 112 millones de mexicanos.
They are 112 million Mexicans.
60% de esos mexicanos son pobres o somos pobres.
60% of Mexicans are poor people.
Y 40% de esos 60 viven en pobreza extrema.
And 40% of those 60% are in extreme poverty.
35% de las personas viven en economía media.
35% of the people live in like in a middle class.
Y solo 5% tienen todo el dinero de México en sus manos.
And 5% of the population have concentrated most of the wealth.
La última noticia dice que son 53 ricos millonarios en México.
There are 53 multimillionaires. Y
por cada millonario hay más de 1 millón de mexicanos en pobreza.
For each millionaire, there is a million Mexicans in poverty.
No quiero.
Rodarla nada más. You can do it.
Dirígelo hacia la computadora.
No.
No, a la computadora.
A ver ahí. Ahí está. Sí. Es un país con una gran historia y mucha belleza.
So it's a country with a rich culture and a lot of beauty, beautiful places. Pero explain what that pictures were. ¿Podrías explicarnos esas fotos?
Perdón.
Solo para.
Ah. Estas son, decimos, las ruinas de nuestras culturas antiguas.
These are the mayas huastecas.
¿Perdón?
Mayas huastecas.
Estos son mayas.
Mayan uh-huh. ruins.
Uh-huh. Cultura, mucha cultura. Este es el Palacio de las Bellas Artes en México. Fine arts.
Yeah, the fine arts.
Sí. Los Cabos, San Lucas, es la playa en México.
I know you know where it is.
Esto es en Chiapas, se llama el Cañón del Sumidero, en Chiapas.
In the south.
En México, en Xochimilco.
This is Mexico City.
Ajá. Mm-hmm. Sí. El gran, la montaña Popocatépetl, también tenemos nieve.
I don't know the Mexican names for the places. I won't repeat.
Popocatépetl.
The mountain.
Mucha belleza, muchísima belleza.
Uh-huh.
Y, pero solo 5% de la gente puede disfrutar de otras bellezas, como son estas.
But only the richest 5% of the population can enjoy many of these beautiful places.
Yo creo que no había problema de tener lugares así.
There is no problem having this kind of places.
Siempre y cuando todos los mexicanos estuviésemos beneficiados con
lo que se gana.
Pero cuanto más lugares así se hacen en México, más pobres tenemos en nuestro país.
While this kind of developing is growing, poverty is growing too.
Esa es actualmente la realidad en México.
This is the actual reality in Mexico.
Violencia.
Violence.
Uh-huh. Personas que amanecen muertas en distintas partes.
People are being killed everywhere.
Desempleo.
Unemployment.
Mendicidad.
Beggars.
Narcotráfico.
Yeah, you know that.
Pobreza.
And poverty.
Esta es una foto de las personas en las comunidades que han tomado la justicia por sus manos.
This is a picture from some communities that now have taken the defense of their towns by themselves. They have armed civil population.
Es una situación muy difícil y muy dolorosa.
It's a very painful situation.
¿Y la iglesia?
And what about the church?
Ah, la iglesia. Tenemos iglesias que cada vez son más gente, tienen muchos miembros, mega iglesias.
We are experiencing growth. We have mega churches.
Donde los cultos son honor a las personalidades.
But in many of them, worship services are honoring the pastors or the leaders.
La iglesia oficial, que son los la Iglesia Católica,
the official church, that is the Catholic church,
siempre con sus costumbres ya de, ¿cómo se llama?, peregrinaciones y
follows the traditional religious festivities, parades.
Uh-huh. Y pequeñas comunidades, ahí está la esperanza, pequeñas comunidades que todavía tienen la esperanza de que Dios va a sacarlos de su situación de dolor.
And there are small communities that still are hopeful in being protected by God and leading out the situation there.
Lamentablemente, la mayor parte de las iglesias se ocupan por tener espacios donde el culto es nada más que para calmar el momento, ¿no?
Unfortunately, most of the churches are the most important thing is to share
sentirse bien,
that people feel good about themselves.
Pero no hace una presencia ante la sociedad para cambiar la situación de las personas.
But they are not working in transforming the society. Mm-hmm.
Esa es la realidad de México.
That's our reality in Mexico.
Pero hay mucha esperanza porque Dios hace cosas grandes con poca gente.
But we are hopeful because God can work through small people.
La historia lo dice, la Biblia lo dice también.
It's in history, it's in the Bible.
Y esta tarde yo les invito, ¿quieren orar con acompañarnos en oración por México?
So I invite you to pray for Mexico. Do you want to pray for Mexico now? Do you want to preferís hacerlo después ahora?
Puede ser, sí que. ¿Orar ahorita? ¿Sí?
Do you agree to have some time of prayer for Mexico?
Adelante. ¿Alguno de ustedes quiere orar y después oro yo?
Mm-hmm. She's asking if any of you is wants to pray for Mexico, and then she will end. You can do it in English. I won't translate your prayer. Mm-hmm. I think we can feel mm-hmm. that we are in the
claro.
same spirit. So if any one of you wants to pray.
We thank you that your word is not bound by nationalities or borders or anything else. And we pray that your word will have freedom in Mexico, and those who know you and love you will have the courage and freedom to share the faith. We pray that you'll give them strength in hard places. Help them to feel that they are not alone. You are always with them and their brothers and sisters around the world.
Muchas gracias, buen Dios, por esta oportunidad que nos das de levantar el corazón y la voz, de estar unidos para poder orar por las situaciones dolorosas de nuestros países, pero sobre todo agradecerte porque nos das un lugar, un país que podemos decir es nuestro. Pero también, Señor, queremos orar por las situaciones difíciles, particularmente en México. Rogamos, Señor, que tu gracia y tu misericordia se pueda sentir plenamente en nuestro país. Bendice a nuestros niños, nuestros jóvenes. Y te rogamos, Señor, que la iglesia, tu iglesia, pueda con toda decisión, levantar su voz para que tu reino se haga realidad en medio de mi país. Muchas gracias te damos, Señor. Amén.
Do you have questions for Elizabeth? Something you are interested in? Knowing some more comments, if you have experience being in Mexico? Time to think. We are moving forward, but at the end of the session, if something comes up, please do not hesitate in asking. Thank you.
Yep. So I had the privilege of being at La Comunidad Teológica, where Elizabeth and your family really minister, right? And your husband is there. I met your, was that your daughter, Jimena? Was that her
no,
name?
No.
Okay.
No.
She was a musician, a songwriter.
Jimena yeah. is hija de unos amigos.
Ah, okay. So she was, you know, so I met, I said, and Maria Eugenia was there. And one of the songs that I think I had heard Neftalí knows this song, but one of the songs that we sang was Tenemos Esperanza, We Have Hope. And so I met the man who, what's his name, the man who wrote the music. Homero, yeah, from your country.
What?
And so, no, yeah, we're not going to sing it. And so, but that kind of, you know, our the reality in El Salvador is very similar to Mexico. Obviously, we have problems with violence, gangs, drug trade, you know, immigration, all kinds of injustice. But, you know, in the middle of this, you know, the church is saying, we have hope, tenemos esperanza. And there is this, I could tell you stories about all kinds of Baptists in El Salvador, but Neftalí and I are working with a little church in a village called Aguilares, El Salvador. which is a, it's like a, to me, it's like a little island of hope. Neftali is my assistant and responsible for everything I need to do. But this, I think we're estamos más emocionados de este, con este proyecto en Aguilares que quizás todas las cosas que hacemos, ¿verdad? We're probably more excited about this, working with these little kids, you know. And so, and I will tell you, it starts. So this my involvement with this supporting this project starts with Neftali, but it goes beyond Neftali, because it was his father, Neftali Valiente, padre or father, who led me to Christ when I was about 12 years old. And one of the things that that hermano Neftali, Reverend Valiente, you know, would do for his congregation, he would write songs for us. So the very first day I went to church, I was going on my way to a soccer game, and his father was opening the church, and I said good morning, and he just had this welcoming, you know, aura around him, and I said welcome. He said good morning. He said, and I said, what are you having a service? And he said, yeah. Would you like to come in? He said, we're about to have Sunday school. What is it? What is Sunday school? And I said, and he said, these people gather around and they talk about the scriptures. We have a teacher for your age. And he said, and I think you would like, I told him, I've been reading the Bible for about 4 or 5 years and I like it. And so I said, come, what do you, come in? And so he came in, and the first thing that he did was, he noticed that I looked at the front, and I said, is that a piano? I had never seen a piano. And he says, yes. And so he like the first, so he wanted to hear how it sounds, so he played the piano, and then he played the organ. So he like, even before I was saved, was showing my ministry, showing me my ministry. And so one afternoon, after school, I would hang out with hermano Neftali. He would go in the afternoon and visit the sick. And so, and he would go and visit the poor. I would see him sharing his own money to minister, you know. So the church, the you know, for me, and this is at the beginning of the Salvadorian conflict, at the beginning of the World War, you know, we were seeing the wars, but the church points out to people the most beautiful that there is, and that's Jesus Christ. And so, here is a song that hermano Neftali wrote on one of those hot afternoons. So here is so-called, I want you to let, you know, the church, because these songs, you know, when they say global music, I'm not sure that the church does global music. We do universal music, because this music belongs to you. This is the music of the church of Jesus Christ. So this is one song that he sang. Greg Shear one time wrote an arrangement, and they did a Church of the Servant here, but we're going to do it kind of like we do it, you know? Regocíjate y canta. So it's the last, and the hand of the last song.
Thank you.
nature of the kingdom of God is kind of upside down, you know, like the Magnificat prayer. God exalting the Lord. Would you help me? Stand up and let's sing it in English. They would just sing your praises. Oh, good weather. We do a camp, although this year he did it on his own. I didn't come, and so, and they did a great job. And so I started writing song settings, and this is a direct really influence of Emily Brink and the Calvin Institute of Worship. I've been crazy about the song for about 3 or 4 years, and I have not recovered yet. This is a song that I wrote for the first camp that we did. I was glad when they said to me, and I wrote it for the children, but now several churches are singing it to start the services. So when we came, I was kind of pouting because I didn't have my piano, but I think we're doing better, you know, I mean, with Neftali. So, me alegré. ¿Cuántas iglesias vinieron al campamento?
Cinco.
So they had like children from five different churches. And we love it because it's in this little village. And this time, the big church, First Baptist San Salvador, sent their kids to a little camp, you know, because it has become the best. This kind of upside order that there is in the kingdom of God that gives us hope. You know, to imagine better justice, better economies, you know, to work towards the kingdom of God on earth. So this is a song, we're going to try it. He says that he's going to do it. Vos decís que va a funcionar. He said that it's going to work. I'm not sure, but this is, if the Lord, I think it's appropriate, you know, for our ministry, for our prayer, like for everything we do, if it's not God who built the house, you know, we're working in vain. So, okay. Si el Señor no edifica, right, there we go, okay? Right there. So right there. One. Si el Señor no edifica, en vano trabajamos, en vano trabajamos. Si el Señor no nos guarda, So I'm not there to celebrate their birthday, but they understand that I'm doing the work of God, and they're supportive of me being here. And so just sing with me and think of your own daughters, your grandchildren, you know, everybody. You know, we welcome children in the family of God in church. We celebrate them. And in our culture, we're nuts about kids, you know. And I hope that you are too. So, la segunda estrofa. Gracias.
Children are the gift of God. And the river flows over. Our precious sons and daughters.
Only God
builds the temple.
Si el Señor no edifica,
Si el Señor lo edifica, en vano trabajamos, en vano trabajamos. Si el Señor no nos guarda, en vano trabajamos, en vano nos
every day that we have a composer and, the, and his songs with us. So it's a blessing to have you here, Carlos, and you can take these songs, and if you are brave enough, you can teach these songs to your congregations. Well, as I tell you in my when I introduced myself, I'm from Argentina. No, I'm from the land of the Pope. It's a new, yeah. So I cannot avoid everybody that when I say I'm from Argentina, I say, what do you think about the Pope? Mm-hmm. That's the main question. So now it's I had to change my introduction. I'm from South America, and well, this is just geography, but South America is a large subcontinent. We are 10 countries that are considered Latin America, because there are three small countries, Guyana, Suriname, and French Guyana, that were British, French, and Dutch settlements. So even they are part of South America, we do not consider them Latin America. And then the rest of the other 10 countries, we represent the 12% of the earth. And our population is very young. We have an average that is it's very young. And our countries are growing. The largest country is Brazil, with near 200 million people, and the other countries are also growing in numbers. As Elizabeth mentioned, we have the same characteristics of many other parts of Latin America. A large Amerindian population, we call Amerindians to our natives, a history of exploitation by the European settlements, the tragic history of the use of African work labor. Millions of Africans were brought to South America, mainly around the Caribbean, northeast Brazil, parts of Venezuela and Colombia, and some parts of Ecuador, where they were mostly put to work in sugarcane plantations and coffee. So there is a rich culture, African roots there, and what we call Afro-Latinos. We are a very diverse region with a mosaic of ethnicities. You never know how a Latin American look like. You can have our native people. Even our natives are very different in culture, language, physically different. These are Quechuas. This is the people from the Andes, from the, what is Peru, part of Ecuador, one part of Bolivia mainly, the land of the Incas that was very rich in culture. And the other are other kind of Amerindians from Guaraníes from Paraguay. Paraguay is the only Latin American country bilingual, officially bilingual, Guarani and Spanish. In the other countries, Spanish is, or Portuguese in Brazil is the language, the official language, and the other are only spoken by the communities. And even we have so many tribes that there are many efforts also to bring the Bible in their own languages, particularly in the Amazon, because there are many, even there are remote populations that are not in contact with what we call civilization or whatever.
And then we have the, as I mentioned, the African descendants. These are Africans in Brazil. Perhaps if you have been in Cuba, you will find some similarities, because most of the Africans that were brought to Brazil were brought from Angola, are Yorubas, and it's the same kind of Africans that were brought to Cuba. That it's interesting, but they have the same food and many of the, even the religiosity. We have an impact of the religiosity of each one of these branches. And European descendants, I chose the Pope, the children of Italian immigrants in my country, the Southern Cone, Argentina, Uruguay, parts of Chile and Southern Brazil. We are like the whitest parts because the Europeans chose to come to the South, particularly at the end of the 19th century and in, around the World Wars. So we have this, all these mixes, and we can look like any of these faces as Latin Americans. In total, we have around 400 million inhabitants, 77 of whom live in urban places, in cities. We are the most urbanized region in the world, interestingly, because usually people believe that we are more rural. And that was my surprise when I moved to the States. Because, you know, from there, when you watch TV, you always watch LA, New York. And then I moved to Michigan and said, whoa, these people are very rural and in very small towns here. And we it's exactly the opposite in Latin America, which is very bad for our economies also. It's the internal migration we have from the rural settings because of lack of resources, lack of training to work in the land, and all these people are coming to the cities. We have large cities like São Paulo or Mexico City, the largest city in Latin America, and we have Buenos Aires that is huge. We have 42 million people in my country, and in our capital city, that is Buenos Aires, and the suburbs, 25% of the population live. So if you go to Patagonia, which is beautiful, if you can go there, go. But you can have perhaps find an inhabitant in how much is a kilometer square in square feet? I don't know. How which is the equivalent? Do you know? Well, anyway, a kilometer, square kilometer is a lot of land.
I don't know. It's a third of a mile. I know a mile. A kilometer is a third of a mile.
Well, in a square mile, in Patagonia, you can find one inhabitant. Mm-hmm. And then all the rest of the people are in the cities, in the main cities. So this is very bad for the development of the country economically. And all the problems that the urbanized settings have, that is, poverty in the city is very tough, and with all the poverty we have, so we have these contradictions with the urban settings. We have a continent of enormous beauty. This is Machu Picchu, the land of the Incas, the sacred city of the Incas in Peru. Well, it's wonderful. You have the beautiful Rio de Janeiro, and now the World Soccer Championships. So yeah, but you need to save a lot of money if you're planning to go. Iguazu Falls, in the north of my country, in the borders with Paraguay and with Brazil. Brazilians have the hotels, but we have the falls on the other side. And a beautiful city like Ecuador, Quito, Ecuador, with the volcanoes. This is Bolivia, just to show you that Bolivia is the poorest country in Latin in South America, but it has wonderful places. This is salt. It's not water. It looks like marsh. And Cartagena de Indias in Colombia, one of the oldest cities we have, that was also a port from where the Spaniards took many of the good things we have. And but besides the beauties, it's a region of inequality. We have the largest gap in all the world between the rich and the poor. So you have the slums. These are slums in what is called a favela in Rio de Janeiro, and the upscale neighborhoods. This is in Puerto Madero, Buenos Aires. And you can see this sometimes with 5-10 miles in distance. If you go to Rio de Janeiro, you will see the favelas and you will see the beautiful buildings and 5-star hotels. And this creates a lot of, as you know, a lot of tension and a lot of injustice. Even when we have been reducing poverty, this last decade, Latin America is reducing poverty, but it's still a lot of injustice and inequality. More than a decade ago, the president of Brazil at that time, that was Fernando Henrique Cardoso, he said, talking about Brazil, "Brazil is not a poor country, it's an unjust country." Mm-hmm. And this is what happens in most parts of Latin America. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of wealth, natural wealth, and a lot of potential, but the distribution of this wealth is very unfair. And our region, so it's not the poorest subcontinent in Earth. Our problem is inequality and the lack of opportunities for social upward mobility. Who is born in poverty or who is born in a family with poorly educated parents tend to stay the same. This is, if you heard the Pope describing what the marginals, people that are outside the society, is precisely talking about this. If you are born in this kind of environment, you are not going to make it, except crime, these kind of things that are so tempting because there are no other ways for them to get a decent life. In our region, poverty and inequality are associated with discrimination. A vast majority of natives are poor, and there are also a significant number of African descendants that are poor, or the Afro-Latinos. And on the other hand, a disproportionate number of poor households in the region are headed by women. So in South America and in Latin America in general and the Caribbean, poverty is linked to color and to gender. Poverty is linked to other processes that affect the social fabric of the region, as Elizabeth mentioned. Skyrocketing population migration. Not only migration to the United States, that is what you are more used to, but we have internal migration. In my country, we have 1 million Paraguayans and almost 1 million Bolivians. Mm. And for a country with 42 million, it's hard because all this creates many tensions, even in our region.
How many Bolivians?
Yeah,
how
almost many? 1 million. Closely related to the problem of poverty, we have all the problem of violence. Hmm? Most of the violence and crime in our region is linked to drug trafficking, human trafficking, organized crime, and the poor suffer the violence worse than the others. Because it's not just poor against the rich or the poor against the middle class, but also inside these slums, there is a lot of violence. So in this context, we are experiencing growth. The church is growing. So we have Brazil, for instance, and they have statistics on religion. In other countries like mine, religion is considered something that is private, so it's not asked in the census, but Brazil asks in the census. And 20% of the population said that they consider themselves Protestant evangelicals. We use the word evangelicos. That does not mean evangelicals in the same way you use the word evangelicals. Okay. We use evangelicos just to say that we are Christians, non-Catholics. So in Brazil, 20% of the population, which is 40 million people, It's almost the population, entire population in my country. So they have a lot of potential. They are in the top five missionary sending countries in the world today. And then we have Chile, around 20% too. They have a smaller population, but Chile is growing. And the growing is usually more the Pentecostal church, charismatic Pentecostal church that is experiencing more growth than the other. The traditional evangelical churches, Baptists, the Free Brethren, are growing too, with the influence of this Pentecostal. And the historical churches have some more difficulties in growing. However, in Brazil, the Presbyterians are very strong. It's a strong denomination. So I want to concentrate in some good things happening in the church, because I don't want you to give the impression that everything that happens in Latin America is so bad. We are having vitality. Our churches are full of kids and young people. We don't struggle with the problem of aging in congregation, because we are a young region, but also our churches attract young people. You will see in worship in Latin America, usually musicians with 13 years old, 15 years old. It's very young, the church. It's multi-generational. We attract young families, and also it's been an instrument, a tool of social mobility for many people, especially those who live behind vices and some involvement in crime. They are transformed. The church is working in this, and the gospel is impacting many lives. In many of our countries, we have wonderful ministries in prison, evangelizing those who are in prison. And in this way, we are transforming many lives. But we lack of a prophetic social voice. Our work is transforming one by one. It's more, the individualistic perspective of the gospel. We change our lives, our communities, but we are not so involved in transforming society, as Elizabeth mentioned.
Maria, in El Salvador, evangelicals are about 50%.
Wow. No, yeah. In South America, the church is not growing so fast as in
yes.
Central America.
Yes. Kind of Guatemala, El Salvador, the same. Honduras is heading that direction.
Yes.
How is Nicaragua? ¿Qué porcentaje tal vez? ¿Es igual que El Salvador? ¿Similar?
No.
So it's less than. Maybe it starts decreasing as you go south.
You're right. Guatemala, I think, is the largest evangelical population in percentages is in Guatemala.
Yeah, and this is, and also, I'm sorry, but you know, in Guatemala, the wealthiest evangelicals are indigenous, you know, are the natives,
mm-hmm.
you know, are among them. They're fantastic business people. So, you know, it's really interesting.
So, in many ways, the church is trying to be relevant. So, due to our history, and it would be very long to explain, we are not involved in politics very much, but we are involved in community development. Many of our churches do community work, and that's because we do not have such a strong separation between saving souls and doing some work, because the need is so large that we cannot preach the gospel and do not feed the kids or do not help our neighborhoods. So we, in this way, I think that we are trying to work or to move into this holistic ministry, serving the people and preaching the gospel. But again, the efforts are more focused in individual peoples or families and not in a more broader sense. We have an increased interest in training of pastors, but we lack a lot. We do not have accurate statistics, but some estimations, some people believe that 8 in 10 pastors do not have formal training in Latin America, which is bad in some ways, but it's good in other ways. It's a church that involves lay leaders. if you go to church, if you attend the church, you work for the church, usually. It's we all do church, and we are not expecting so much of the pastors, because many churches cannot have a full-time pastor. Many pastors are tent makers, so we are more we are able to involve the leadership, the lay leadership in the church. And this is something I think we can contribute to the church worldwide, the way we do church from poverty. We do not need money. Well, everybody needs money, but we are able to do ministry without money. And even missions, and even sending missionaries with all the problems we have with our currency. So, the thing that is pending for us is to find a more enculturated way to be a church. We still deal with all the influences from the United States or from the European denominations that came there, but it remains a very relational church. For us, relationships is not a strategy. It's the way we experience church. And I think, again, this is a very good contribution we can do to the church worldwide. I think we are on time. And it's Latin American time, or you have. I brought some resources from written prayers from Argentina, brothers and sisters from my country, and I would love you to take these prayers with you, to pray these prayers if you want to join us, and also perhaps to share these resources with your church. I don't know if you have any questions, any comments. Elizabeth will end with a very short song, and then we have this gift, and you can take one of them. It's for you. It's just to remind us, to remember
except,
us.
Except this and this.
You have to bring those back home, Elizabeth.
Huh?
You have to bring those back home.
Yes. Yeah. See, this is Angela. ¿Pueden ponerse en pie?
¿Pueden?
Stand up. En Latinoamérica nos gusta tocar. El cuerpo del hermano. ¿Puedes traducir eso?
We like to, you know, we're more physical than Latin America.
¿Podemos hacer un círculo para ahora? Para que... ¿Qué?
So what do you think?
You're blocking the song.
Ah, okay.
Here we go.
San Agustín decía que quien canta ora dos veces.
So San Agustín said, who sings, prays twice. Yes.
Voy a cantar en español esa canción.
I'm going to sing that in Spanish, that song.
Es un arrullo.
It's like a lullaby.
Yeah.
Oh, the
Dios te acune en sus brazos, te arrulle siempre su voz. En tu vida Él guíe tus pasos, en tiempos de sombra y de sol. Dios te acune en sus brazos, te arrulle siempre su voz. En tu vida Él guíe tus pasos, en tiempos de sombra y de sol.
Good. I'm ready for my
May
sister.
May God's arm round you sweetly, lead you with a whispering song. May God guide your life forever, in shadows or in time of light. May God's arm round you sweetly, lead you. A whispered song. May your grace give you life there forever, in shadows or in times of light. God bless Latin America.
Thank you for being with us. And you are more than welcome to.